Praise God. You know, if it were for just these testimonies, I think the atmosphere is touched enough for you to tap into, knowing fully well that God is here. Hallelujah. And not only that God is here, He lives in you, and then He walks in you. Hallelujah. Amen. If I remember this young man, I remember when grandma would come and give him birth. I remember when we were going to name him then. I said, it's grandma that has been taking care of him. And now he's here 10 years, and grandma is here smiling. Hallelujah. And the mother too. I mean, it's just God's grace. Amen. Hallelujah. And I remember grandma as well. It's unusual for me to notice that if you pass by me, innocent. I'm just me, you know. But I just knew that it was an unusual thing that Sunday morning, and I was like, what's wrong? That's where God notices you. Amen. Hallelujah. That's where God notices you. I mean, no matter if He chose to make 20 billion people, God has capacity for the 20 billion. Hallelujah. And no matter how many we are, He will not leave you without a word. Amen. And then as if that was not enough, you know, I was just saying that on Sunday that if, you know, you have any issue, let us know. And then Monday morning, Kenny sent me a message. And I was like, this guy has come again, this guy. You know, I was like, so for me, if you send me a text that I want to talk, honestly speaking, I will just leave it. Because if you want to talk, and you are saying, does Kukuma say, what you want to talk about? If you say, I want to talk, can I talk? I don't understand. Hallelujah. So I was like, okay, no problem. But I'm saying these things are, I mean, it's just as important as all of us should note, okay, that we are all together and God is with us. Amen. We are all members of a body. Hallelujah. The head cannot function without the arms and the legs. It will send signal to where it's supposed to send signal to, and things are supposed to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. I bring you greetings from the set man, unavoidably absent. But he is here with us because God is here. Hallelujah. Amen. The School of Miracles. And that's why I said that is enough if we just add these testimonies and we just all just go home and pray about these things that we've heard. But I will go back to my favorite scripture, Romans 15 and verse 4. Hallelujah. Romans 15 and verse 4. And honestly speaking, everything that you guys did this evening just speaks to Romans 15 verse 4 for me. It says that the things that were written before, they were written for our learning. Hallelujah. And peradventure, you are like, those things happen AD. Those things happen BC. Hallelujah. The testimonies we had today are those things that are told today. They were told for your learning. Hallelujah. Amen. So, where's my Romans now? Amen. Hallelujah. God is good, though. That's a missed testimony. It's a big one. I remember when we gave birth to Temiloluwa, exactly on his first month, in the middle of the night, he was aspirating. You know what aspirating is? I think he took milk and then the thing came back into his air track and he was in the cot. You know this evil life, you know, your child is in the cot, on the bed. All of this forming. But the way God is, okay, I'm just connect everything I'm saying. So don't think that I'm cracking joke. I'm not cracking joke. It may be funny, but I'm not cracking joke. So the way God works, it was in that court and it was aspirating. Myself and my wife were on the bed and we were sleeping. And for one good reason, the Holy Spirit tapped her and she woke up. She looked in his direction and then she went back to sleep. And then the Holy Spirit tapped her again. I was like, what's wrong? Get up. And she looked in his direction and she saw that he was gasping for air. It was red. I mean, it was acting for air. It was, I think it was turning blue or something. I can't remember. And then I was busy sleeping. And then she hit me the first time. I was sleeping. I was sleeping. The person that the Holy Spirit needed to wake. The Holy Spirit had woken the person up. This one was man that was going to wake. The next one she hit me. Why are you hitting me? I said, this guy is losing breath. Hallelujah. And then he started running up and down, blah, blah, blah. My brother-in-law that was living upstairs, when he heard, it was around 1 a.m., when he heard the pandemonium, he was going to jump from his flat down. He was not going to use the staircase. Ah, you know, but that's the way. So, and then there was one hospital down the road, and then myself and my wife, she was running. I said, calm down. She was running. Then she twisted an ankle. When we got to the hospital, they were using atupa. They were not even using lantern. You know atupa? I said, even if this boy is, if nothing was wrong with this boy before, he's here, they will give him something. We took him back home, and then we got into the car and went to the hospital. But all the way, before we got to the hospital, it was okay. Ask God for you. Hallelujah. He does things in spite of you and I. Hallelujah. Amen. And he always shows up. This evening, I'm going to read from you to you from the book of Luke. And we're going to learn. So I said Romans 15, verse 4. Please let me put it up. I thought I was done with Romans 15, verse 4. I thought I finished that last year, September. I think I told you I was done with it last year, September. But I think every time I come up, I will always have reason to read this to you. That for whatever things were written before, were written for our learning, so that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. Hallelujah. So the things that were written before, and the things that were written before, we read them from the scriptures. Hallelujah. So I read to you this evening, Luke chapter, and I want to look, I think I should read the one from Mark. But don't worry, my note says Luke, so let me just go with Luke. Luke chapter 8. And I'm going to read from verse 40 to 16. I'm going to make it very fast. Then we kick off with what God will teach us this night. So he says, so it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him and were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. Hallelujah. So in our midst this evening, in these 16 verses of the Bible, in our midst this evening, we'll have a Jairus. We have a Jairus' daughter. We have a woman with the issue of blood. Hallelujah. And I know surely that we do not have the crowd in our midst. Hallelujah. But these key characters, we have Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So someone will be like Jairus that will go to God and say, you know what? I need you to come heal my daughter. Hallelujah. And someone is just like Jairus' daughter that needs to be healed. Amen. Hallelujah. And somebody is just probably, let's go to verse 43. It's just probably like the woman with the issue of blood. It doesn't mean that you are draining blood. Hallelujah. It just means that an issue that refuses to go away. Hallelujah. That refuses to go away. A long, persistent issue. You are carrying it around. But this night, everything will be dislodged by the grace of God. Amen. So it says that now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years. I know the funny thing. This part of the Bible, verse 40, started with the fact that Jairus had a daughter, not just 12 years old. So that little girl had only spent 12 years of her life. She had not spent enough time on this life. Abby? And then she was sick and her father was scared. What was her father scared of? Her father didn't want her to die. So it looked like it was a terrible situation and then he didn't want her to die. 12 years. And then on his way to Jairus' house, okay, then he encountered another person that had 12 years of what? He said he had 12, having a flow of blood for 12 years, who has spent all her livelihood of physicians and could not be healed by any. So this one had 12 years of an unpalatable experience. So if you were be, if you look at the way the Bible and the scriptures are and their culture, that the fact that she had issue of blood, she'll be secluded from the total whole community. I mean, she'll just be outside the camp or something. She's not allowed to mingle with people. Okay? Hallelujah. Because it's issue of blood. And that's why in the Old Testament they didn't allow women to go into the temple when it's that time of the month. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you don't know that time of the month, I won't explain to you. So now, okay, let's go. And then spent all her livelihood and could not be healed by any. Came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately a flow of blood stopped. And then what happened? And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitude strong and press you, and you say, who touched me?" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Please note that when you touch Christ, hallelujah, it means that you tap that power out of him. Amen. The touch that you touch Christ is not the one that touch your hand, hallelujah, because everybody was strong and it was a crowd. Everybody will be pushing and pulling. And that's why his disciples were like, "Okay, what are you saying now? There's so many people here. I mean, why will you ask that who touched you?" But there's a pool in the spirit that is significant to him. Amen. And then he says that somebody touched me. I perceive power going out from me. Now, when the woman saw that she was not eating, she came trembling and falling down before him, and she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And then he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." Amen. So the beginning was he was going to Jairus' house. Then there was an interruption of the woman of the flow of blood. And then while he finished dealing with the flow of blood, okay, they came and told the head of the synagogue that, "Guy, don't disturb our guy again. The girl is gone." Hallelujah. Amen. Then when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." And when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep, she's not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned. She arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Hallelujah. Amen. I quickly rushed through because of time. But in those two stories, there are significant things that we need to learn from. Okay? First off, God's plan is not your plan. Amen. God's plan is not our plan. Hallelujah. And so you cannot have faith in your own plans. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? God's ways are not our ways. His plans are not our plans. Except you connect with him and pray in the will of God and work with his plans. But when you want to see the reality of God, okay, you are not going to trust in your own plans. Hallelujah. Amen. You have to have faith in the person of Christ, not your plans. So when Jairus went to him, Jairus looked at, if you look at the, I think in the book of Mark, this story starts from verse 22. Mark 5. I think it starts from verse 22. In the book of Mark, okay, Jairus said, go to 23. Yeah, he said, "My little daughter lies at the point of death." That was why he was afraid. Okay? Because he had looked at, where's Kenny? He had looked at the situation, he had examined it and said, this girl is about to die. And then he said, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Hallelujah. So his plans was that if Christ got there where she was alive, okay, then the matter is done. Hallelujah. But if you look at what we're reading in the book of Luke, it says the fact that after the woman with the issue of blood told him that, look, I'm the one that touched you. That's why he felt someone touch you. Then the people came and told the master that, don't trouble him anymore. So all of them, the plan was that, look, Jairus, go and call Jesus. Bring him here. Once he's here, then he will lay hands on the girl. And so you can't box God into what you think that he should do. Amen. In the book of Acts, I think it's Acts chapter 10 and verse 32. It says, God is no respecter of persons. Am I right? Is it Acts 10? Yeah. Acts 10 from 34. It says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Amen. In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Okay, so I'm saying that when we plan things out, God does not necessarily have to follow what we plan out. What happened to Jairus was similar to what happened to Lazarus and his sisters. They went to tell Jesus that this guy is sick, okay? And then Christ went about doing whatever he was doing. And then when he felt that it was time to go, when he got there, he said he's been dead for 4 days. So to them, that situation was totally hopeless. It can no longer be of any effect. The same thing what happened to Jairus' daughter, okay? The people thought that, look, the girl is dead. Please go back to Luke, Mark 5:23. And he said, the girl is dead. I mean, there's nothing the master is going to do again. You cannot limit God because of what you think or how you think God is. Hallelujah. That's why the psalmist says in, I think, Psalm 150, that you should praise him according to his excellent greatness. Amen. Not according to what you think. Amen. It's according to his excellent greatness. What you think is different from what God is. Hallelujah. And so, when you are making your plans, don't make a boundary that is within this boundary that God will walk. Hallelujah. And you can't hurry. You can't hurry him up more than he himself will move. No, Habakkuk 2 says it all. It says, write the vision, make it plain, okay, so that he may run with it, who reads it, okay? It says, don't it tarry, wait for it, it will not tarry. It will surely come, hallelujah. And then, give me Habakkuk 2, verse 2. Yeah, it says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that it may run, who reads it. For the vision is for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So, and oftentimes, and as much as we read, always read this, I always say that the first tarry and the second tarry are two different things. So the first tarry says, though it tarries, wait for it. That tarry means delay. It's your own delay. I want a car now. That's my own timing. Or by the end of this year, I don't know whatever you want, but you have given God time that this is my timing. So it says, if those things that you've written down are not working according to your own timing, it says, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Hallelujah. Because the second tarry, delay, is according to God's plan. Hallelujah. Because God will not give you anything that you are not ready for. If you are not ready, he's not going to put in your hands, so that thing will not end you. Okay? And that's why Christ even did not start his ministry until he was 30. And then he did it for 3 years, right? And then at the age of 33, he was crucified. He's always a place of preparation. So he says here that though he tarries, wait for it. So each time, and that's what happened to Jairus. He looked like Christ tarried. So all the way, when he called him, he first got his attention. And then on the way, Christ was saying somebody touched him. And then he stood in the crowd and was demanding who touched him. Jairus must have been like, guy, something's happening. I bet let's go. Let's move, you know. And that's the tarry that Jairus will have been saying. Do it tarry. But Bible is saying, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. See, the end result of whatever Jairus wanted and whatever the usual woman in usual blood wanted had nothing to do with timing. It's the result that they wanted. Abi? It's the result that they wanted. So what did he want? He wanted his daughter to live. Right? The woman of usual blood wanted to end at 12 years of bloodiness. Hallelujah. Amen. So, irrespective of what they wanted, the process to which they will get there, as long as Christ is in the midst of it, is not their responsibility. Or was not their responsibility. And it's not also my responsibility or responsibility to charter a course to get to the end that we are looking at. Amen. I've read Acts chapter 10, verse 34. It's no respecter of persons. As long as you do, it will do for Mr. Sajere the same thing it will do for me under the same circumstance. So as long as we have a brother of faith and we are drawing on him, hallelujah, he will respond. Amen. Now, you don't expect God to have a formula. God is not a mathematics equation. Neither is he a chemical equation. You know, in chemistry, you balance. Sorry, how many of you did chemistry? Before I start talking about, okay, let me use mathematics. So, before I start talking about chemical equilibrium. Now, so in mathematics, there's always quadratic equation or whatever equation. They say the left side is equal to the right side. God, that's not God. Amen. He says that the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So once he speaks, what you expect is that life has been issued. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, just leave it on Mark chapter 5:23. No, don't take it off. So I said that the tarry and the first tarry and the second tarry. The second tarry is that God does not delay in his own timing. It's endless. Hallelujah. So if God's plan is that I want you to get this thing today, that's when you are going to get it. Amen. Well, if we pray and complain that you wanted to eat last week, God knows, he says he knows the end from the beginning. And definitely he knows everything in between. Now, everything in between is always our own worry. Are you getting me? That's always our own worry. Now we sit and say, oh my God. You know, every time a woman gets married, and then they are praying, that's when pressure starts. Because from the day they pray, they say in 9 months' time, we are coming, yes, sir. They say, they will tell you, in 9 months' time, we are coming to eat rice. Now, we are like those people around, because you don't even know the plan of the husband and wife, whether they want to, in 9 months, whether they even want to call you. We are praying that in 9 months' time, we are coming to eat. Then we hear the voice of the child and the mother. I mean, so that's your own plan. So if after 9 months, they don't call you, then you begin to look and then you begin to wonder. Exactly. I've seen a couple that chose that, look, we're not going to have any child in the first 3 years of our marriage. So imagine that everybody was just looking and looking and looking. So it just looked like time was going according to other people's plan. But the owner of the plan, the one that designed it, has a plan. You know, when we become born again, he says, the life I live is no longer mine. Hallelujah. The life I live is now by faith in him. Amen. So all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become. Everything about you, just hand it over to God. He says, you are dead in him. Hallelujah. Amen. So, when we begin to plan, you cannot plan outside the one that is designing your life or the one that holds your life. So that you won't be like the people, like the crowd, that will keep waiting and waiting. And then the Bible says, please go back to Habakkuk 2, 3. It says, the first tarry says, though it tarry, wait for it. And then the second tarry says, it will not tarry. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, there are so many examples in the Bible when you look at this tarry thing. First, if you look at the life of Joseph, he had a dream. Okay? The sun and the moon, they bowed down. And then it looked like it would never happen. Until when he was old, was the age of 30. When he had the dream, I think he was 17 or so. And then at the age of 30, he became prime minister, right? If I'm right. So it looked like it was never going to happen. He would have thought of it when he was going from the well to slavery to prison, then back to the palace. At that point, there was no sign. There was no sign that the sun and the moon, you will ever see them again. Because they sold him into slavery. Then they told him to Potiphar's house, Abby, and then he was in prison. So, and then he had that dream many years ago. And it looked like it was never going to happen. So, and in the present circumstance, even when he became prime minister, it looked like it was not going to happen. Because he was in Egypt, and they were in far away Canaan. Hallelujah. And then suddenly, it looked like God was on course. Amen. But God was never off course. He was going through a preparation for the time he'll be prime minister. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm saying to you and I this night. God is never off course. And God is never late. Amen. If you're in a hurry, wait for him. He will surely come. We are always fond of being able to tell what is going to happen next, what is not going to happen next. You know, so sometimes when things happen and when we begin to fret, I'm not feeling fine. I need to go to the hospital. And then I'm not saying don't go to the hospital. Never you say you're not going to the hospital. But I'm just using that as an example for you. I'm not feeling fine. I need to go to the hospital. I need to see the doctor. I need to know what's wrong. Now, when you know what is wrong, are you going to solve what is wrong? Or the doctor going to solve what is wrong? So oftentimes, all of us have been to the hospital. And then we get to the doctor. And the doctor says, okay, this matter. you need to go and do this. You can do this test, and then we come back and see if you are going to have to go in there. You know, when they say go in there, that means they are going to do surgery. We have to go in there, blah, blah, blah. And then you now get scared. Now, at that point, you know what you are going to do? You are going to start saying God. You see, when they begin to tell you all the stories and say, they are seeing one thing is looking like it's inflamed, blah, blah, blah. Then you are going to start praying to God and say, God, what is this man saying? Now, the essence of what I'm telling you is that before going, go to God. Because at the end of the day, you are going to still come back to that God. Abi? Let me tell you, when I took the Temiloluwa to the hospital 2 weeks ago, because they said, I want to go to the hospital. So I said, we go to the hospital. And then when the doctor was telling him everything, he said, God. I was just laughing. I said, if you have just sat down at home and be praying so that we see God. Now, your doctor has made you to see God. Abi, you don't need to get to that point before you know that where you start your journey from is God. Amen. And where you end the journey is God. Hallelujah. So certain things may look like, you want to get things done, you have to wait for him. Now, Jairus, when we go back to Mark chapter 5 and 23, he says, my daughter is at the point of death. So his heart was in turmoil. But he did the right thing. He went to look for Christ. Hallelujah. But he had a different expectation when he was going to Christ. He was going to tell Christ to come and touch. Hallelujah. But that's the giver of life. Amen. It happened, was it with the centurion? He said, don't worry, your faith I've never seen this kind of faith in the whole of Israel, you know. And then when he got to him, say, at that hour when he was speaking to him, his daughter was made whole, or his servant. Now, the same thing here. He said, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. He totally understood that this is his last bus stop. He will come, lay his hands on her, and you'll be healed. That was Darius' plan, but that was not God's plan. Hallelujah. Christ was all right with the fact that Jairus had that understanding and relationship with him, because he said, come, lay your hands on her, she may be healed, and she will live. Amen. That was all Christ needed, because that man demonstrated faith. The same thing happened to the woman with the issue of blood. Hallelujah. He said, somebody touch me. And when he said touch, he meant that power had left him. Your faith is enough to draw virtue out of Christ. Hallelujah. We don't have the opportunity of seeing him walk around in Ogudu and say we want to touch him. But this scripture, these stories in the scripture, tells you that you draw virtue from him by your faith. And when people saw that the girl was dead, they told Jairus, look, stop your believing and stop the hope that you have. Amen. And that's why I read to you Romans 15 verse 4, that it says that be true, the patience and the comfort of the scriptures will have hope. So in a case that looked hopeless, the story of Jairus' daughter, to everybody, the girl was dead. But to Christ, he told them, she's just asleep. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he told them that so if you go to Luke chapter 8, from verse 49, it says, while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, only believe and she will be made well. Then when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her. But he said, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put all of them outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, little girl, arise. Hallelujah. Little girl, arise. Little girl, arise. In the book of John, chapter 6. Because when he said, little girl, arise, but she was dead, what happened? Her spirit came back. John chapter 6. Verse 63. He says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. He spoke to the girl, little girl, arise. And what happened? The girl came up alive. Hallelujah. He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So there is no dead situation where the word of God is. Are you getting it? There is nothing dead where the word of God is. So little wonder, When he got to Lazarus, he groaned on the way. He got to the tomb. He told them to roll the stone away. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. It says, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. He spoke and told the girl, little girl, arise. And she rose from the dead. Hallelujah. When you consider a situation dead, look for God's word. Amen. Look for the word of God. Because you say, it's not Christ that will be speaking. I'll be the one speaking. I'm coming though. I want to show you something. Isaiah 51, verse 16. It says, and I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. My emphasis is that I have put my word in your mouth. Hallelujah. Amen. In this dispensation we are in, it's the word of God in our mouth that we speak that makes a difference. Amen. And it says, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Once you lay hold of God's word, hallelujah, and you speak them, that is spirit and is life. When we were praying, I think Mr. Sajis took us to Jude 1:20. Says we should build up our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Jairus and the woman with issue of blood, the Bible records that there is this faith. Christ was speaking to the woman with issue of blood that you have demonstrated good faith. Hallelujah. Faith in God is all that you need. Amen. And an understanding of the way that God works. Hallelujah. If you have plans, make your plans in God. And you need to trust Him. That is the one that will define reality and not the crowd. Amen. So reality are the things that you expect and the things that will happen to you. Hallelujah. It says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the reality of the matter. The crowd does not determine reality. You know, everybody always says that the voice of the people is the voice of God. You know, but you know now that's a lie. Abi? this country is a case study. Everything the woman says, you can break it down. You know now that the voice of the people cannot be the voice of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Because if the people are headed in the wrong direction, and all of them are saying the same thing, it cannot be the voice of God. It's not about the crowd. So if it were for the crowd, Jairus' daughter would have remained dead. Amen. If it was about the crowd, they would have suffocated the woman with the issue of blood. But because she had that understanding and she could relate with Christ in the spirit, she said, if only I touch the hem of his garment. Now, it's not about the hem of his garment, but you were just like, if I can just get his attention. Not knowing that faith that was propelling her was all she needed, even if she didn't touch that hem of garment. The fact that she so desired it and understood that if I get his attention and my problem is solved, we'll have solved the matter. But so that we may learn, that's why it was written. And be careful. You know, I see a lot of films these days. And if you look at those films, they look like they are so Christian. They are Christian films. In fact, they will tell you the story of the Bible, but they twist everything. They so twist everything. If you want to read and understand the story of the Bible, please don't read it. Don't look at the film. First, read the Bible. So that when you are looking at the film, you will not have distorted information. Because that's what the devil is doing now. So he's masking everything. You know that devil has no power over us, okay? Except you allow him, okay? Now what he's doing and what he has always done is to deceive. And so he's going to package all his lie and make it look like, oh, this is about the scripture. I've seen a film about Noah. I've seen a film about Adam and Eve. And I'm like, why, my, oh my. I never read this in the scriptures. It's like somebody coming to me and telling me that, at least, you know, some people can argue that. If I say, this is my mother, some people can argue that. Are you sure? It's only a woman that knows. That's what people say. But nobody can argue that these ones are my children because I was there. Abi? So I can tell you. So it's like someone coming to me now and saying, no, this Tebiloloa is not your son. I'll just be smiling because I am too sure that from the time he was conceived in the womb till the time he came out, I was there. Even when he was coming out, I was looking at his head like this. I said, hey, this is our head. So if somebody now comes and is now telling me now that this Tebiloloa is not your son, do you know that I will take it with a pinch of, in fact, I won't even listen to it. Because the process and the end result, I know. So for my own case, it's my mother that can argue and say, this is my son. Because she was all there all through. I can always tell them, no, all I can tell you that all the days of my life, this is my mother. But my mother will tell you that for my own junior brother, I can tell him that, boy, since my mother was 2 months in pregnancy for you, she was in the hospital. So from 2 months to 9 months, my mother was on the hospital bed because of that boy. So that you know that for every day from second month till he was born, I was always going to the hospital every evening with my sister and my father to go and check on my mother. So someone will now come and say, this boy, are you sure it's the mother that gave birth to him? I will just be laughing. Say, in fact, if I go, the man that was the cook in the hospital, where he was every evening, the man doesn't make only food for my mother. He makes food for my mother, my sister, and I. And that's why I learned to eat Irish potato. That one that we fry. So today, there's no way if you want to fry Irish potato, you can buy the fresh one and fry for me. Because that's how I learned it for 7 months, every evening. That's what he will give and give us. So I'm saying that because I saw the process. And then when he was born, I wasn't there when he came out. But when I got to the doctor, I saw him. And then we took him home. And then we nurtured him. And he's wherever he is now. And someone will come and say, this guy is not your brother. I will just be laughing. Like, you don't know what they are doing. You say, where were you when we were in the hospital? It's not me that carried the belly. But I say, where were you when we were in the hospital? Because I saw it. It's the same way you have to be cocksure that the reality that it is what Christ wants and not what the crowd is saying. So what the crowd is saying will always be wrong when it comes to Christ because they were not there. Hallelujah. If anybody was going to point to the woman with blood and say, no, you didn't receive anything, she would just laugh. It was 12 years of pain. Jairus had 12 years of joy that was about to disappear. The woman of Israel brought her 12 years of pain that she wanted to disappear. Hallelujah. That's why they tell you that different strokes for different folks. One had 12 years of joy that was about to disappear, and one is praying for 12 years of pain to go. Amen. And everything, the two of them heaped it on one man in the same period of time. It was the same time, Abby. That's why the Bible will sandwich the two of them, Jairus, issue of blood, and then Jairus. It was the same space of time. But Christ did not say, because I've done, Jairus, don't worry, I've answered the man with issue of blood. You have to come back tomorrow. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. That's why the Bible says it's no respect of persons. The two of them were acting in faith, and he was going to deal with them the same manner. What was the manner he was going to deal with them? He was going to give them what they were asking for. Amen. In Luke chapter 8, verse, yeah, thank you, verse 48. But let me go first to verse 44. It says, okay, let me read it from verse 43. It says, now everyone having a flow of blood for 12 years who has spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed of any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately a flow of blood stopped. Note that the Bible says she could not be healed by any. So if she had known better, she would have started her journey from this point that she ended it. Abi, she had gone to several physicians. I'm not saying don't go to physicians. But when you are going, go in faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes, some years back, I saw my mom today. And in 2 weeks' time, when I would see her, I couldn't believe I was the same woman. Amen. I couldn't believe. And then he said, you need to come. There's problem. What if I come? What am I going to do to the problem? You're going to just make emotions high. And then hey, everybody say, hey. So let me take my time. And so when I was okay in the spirit, I moved. I said, don't worry, she'll be fine. And then I moved. And then we got to say, they must do this operation, blah, blah, blah. Yes, sir. That's the day my mother brought out all my bank details. I say, as I'm going for this surgery, take this ATM card. I say, this ATM card cannot solve any problem. It will expire. Kukuma bring the what do you call that paper they give them at the bank? The authorization card. Kukuma, let me sign. Make me join signature. Or make my sister join. Because when this card expires, and no, you're not here. We cannot collect money. So if you know that you're really, if you really know that you're going, don't worry. Tomorrow, we'll go. I was this one. We are praying that you're going to be fine. You are saying in case it, it's not. So this ATM card will not solve any problem. Mommy, get authorization card. Make my sister co-signature so that when you are gone, we can collect money. That's okay. They will say, and I said, make it either to sign so that when you're not around, she looked at me and said, you are the one that brought her card. And I'm giving you a better advice. Abi? She said, Kari, this is the document of the house, everything, just take it. This is where I put this one in case I don't come back. Amen. Yeah, in case I don't, you're not coming back to you. You're coming back. Hallelujah. Amen. So when we go to the hospital, they say, the hospital is on strike, blah, blah, blah. And there was panic everywhere. Why are we panicking? There's no panic. Let's go. And then the doctor said, when I'm done with this surgery, this is what will happen, blah, blah, blah. So I was there all through the surgery. And then when they viewed us, our eyes were closed. And then, so we sat down. And then my sister was pacing up and down. I was just laughing. Pacing up and down. So much so that when she woke up, she was not in the room. I was the one that was in the room. And just exactly the way the doctor said it. I said, God, this is how the doctor has said it. So if that's how it's going to be, no wala, let me just be fine. So I went to the car, come out. But when she was going to wake up, I was the one that was there. So the first thing was that the thing that they used to guard her tongue, so that her tongue wouldn't go back, the thing fell off. And I have the video. When she woke up, I said, see the video. See when he came back to life. I said, so you take your ATM card. Where you start from is very important. Because it determines where you end. So that it's not too late. Hallelujah. Jairus started from a good point. And then the crowd came. I said, guys, stop. There's no point. She's dead. For God and for Christ, that is not finality. For the two of them, for God and Christ, in fact, death is time for them to show that the word of God is alive. For Jairus' daughter, it was almost instant. She was just dead for how many minutes? In the case of Lazarus, it was 4 days. And then he came and said, the words that I speak to you, their spirit and their life. Young male, arise. Lazarus, come forth. If you will see miracles, then you have to attach yourself to his bandwagon. And yet you have to understand that the words that you speak, the Bible says the power of life and death, they lie in the tongue. Hallelujah. Because the words that you speak, you would either bring death or you bring life. But if you speak the word of God, it says the words that I speak, my words, they are spirit and they are life. Whether it's a sickness or it's a situation that needs to be revamped, life to be injected into it, it's just the same God's word. Amen. When my mother came back from the hospital, and she lost all the air on her head, and then she would show me,
see my.
I said, don't worry, it will grow back. If you see her today, you cannot know. I said, I'm the one doing your proco now. I'm telling you, we cannot. And that's why all the time, you have to be in God. You can't see God move if you're outside of him. Somebody else will be experiencing it, and you will not be. Because the two of them that experienced it, it was purely based on faith, on their faith. And the two of them refused to be distracted by the crowd. Let me just say this last point. When you approach God in prayer, always remember that he's probably asking you, what do you want me to do for you? That's the faith, that's the question, that's the answer that faith draws out of him. When you are approaching him in faith, it's as though you are answering his question, what do you want me to do for you? And then when you approach him in faith and you draw from him, then you see God move. Hallelujah. Miracles are as close as our faith in God. If you will believe God by his word, the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. If you believe, then you will see miracles happen. You yourself will be a channel for miracle. I've seen when we were in Ibadan, about 30 years ago. Certain man's nieces, they were like this, so small like this. They had a nanny, and the nanny was ill. Three of them, because they will come to fellowship every Sunday evening, and they are seeing Uncle Reverend praying, and I said always that if you lay hands on the sick, you pray for the sick, if you lay hands on the sick, he will recover. When they were not, all the elderly ones had gone out, and the nanny was sick, the three of them went to the nanny, and they laid hands, and they were mimicking Uncle Reverend. They say, Uncle Reverend says, if you lay hands on the sick, and the woman got up. Childlike faith. No questions. You know this one that Kenny was crying? You know the number of questions that was going in his head? It's okay to cry. So because when you cry, you see clearly. Yeah, you cry, you see clearly. Now when you see clearly, hey. So after you're crying, what else? Voila. You have to have a plan after the crying. So you see clearly. So when he called me, you know, he sent me crying. He's here now. He sent me, let me play it for you. He sent me voice note crying. And I couldn't hear a thing. I think he's trying D sharp, F flat. So he was doing F flat, G flat. Then he went into H. Maybe there's no H, Abby. He created H. Ah. You know, faith is faith. Because he reached out for succor. So his faith is, and then this is what is happening. He reached out in faith. And the things that he was told to do, he did them. So when everything was clear, I didn't hear from him again. When he was sending message, it was almost every 1 hour. He was giving me updates. When everything was clear, it took him about 18 hours to get back to me. That everything was clear. If I said, well, have you heard from Kenny? I said, I've not heard. Amen. That's when Christ steps into the situation. Every fear disappears. But it only disappears if you allow him. Are there no things to worry about? There are things to worry about too. Plenty things. But what did he say? Cast all your cares upon me. If you think the care is too light, cast all your burdens. If you want to carry everyone, carry all the burdens and give it to him. We have to do it in faith. There is no dead situation in Christ. I said this when I was speaking. And while I was sitting there, the Spirit told me, said, in our midst, there's Jairus. In our midst, there's Jairus' daughter. And in our midst, there's a woman with the issue of blood. And in our midst, those three people must not listen to the crowd. The crowd has nothing good to offer when it comes to your prayer to God. And he says, some people are praying along. No. All the time the crowd had come in the scriptures. The Bible, it was written for Allen, you know. Each time the crowd came, they were shutting people down from receiving from God. Abi, blind Bartimaeus say, keep quiet. Why are you shouting? And then there were the same people that said, be glad he's calling you. Because God, what Christ speaks is our radiation of faith. As far away as blind Bartimaeus was, he could pick it that faith was calling out. And the same thing he has given to you and I. Let's rise to our feet this evening. I don't know what's dead. I don't know what needs to dry up so that you can have a breather. But what I know is that Christ, in the midst of the situation, found things around. Let's lift up our voice this evening and speak to him. Reach out in faith. If you want to touch the hem of his garment, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you need to reach out in faith, then close your eyes and do so. And surrender all to him. For adventure, you don't know him. First, give your life to God. If you know him, then let go and let God. There is nothing he cannot do. The Bible says everywhere he went, he was doing good. He was healing people of their sicknesses. And the Bible also records that he had compassion on people. So he will look and then he will have compassion. So these ones have not eaten for a while. He will have compassion. And then he makes use of what they have to have a surplus for them. I don't know who thinks there is a lack now in our midst. What I hear is abundance. If he says, my cup runneth over, it means that there is more than enough. And if you think that, this is the end point, there's no way again. Like the crowd told him, Jairus, this girl is dead, forget it. Don't bother the teacher again. Let the teacher step in. Tell you, not your business, anything you're doing, your work, arise. Speak the word of God this night. Speak it to your situation. open your mouth wide and I'll feel it. That's what the Lord says.
There is nothing
Lift up your hands to the heavens. Rebasa tali de boshedenia. Lingla topa kala pradesa kata sata li de boshedenia. Rekanda lopo sakata la boshedenia. Let your heart reach out in faith. Rebasa kali kata sata li de basa. Makala sakate setenia. Edebos kada basa talia. O seke diga da boseta ligra rasa ta ligra deska ta basaya. E ka plo seke li santa ligra deska ta ligra da basaka dia. Ma ka li seke liga da basaka ya. Is there anyone with a pain in the belly? Re ka skata li da rasa ya. Ma ka di sata liga pradesa ta liga basaka ya. Ma ka taba baseka liga seka di sata liya. Anyone with a pain in the belly? If you have a pain in the belly, place your hand on it. Put your hand upon it. The Spirit of the Lord is moving. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Edebo sata liga bakangra do seke disadaya eklato banka liga lebosota liga le basaya eka basaya. He told Lazarus, come forth, leka basaya. And he told the people, lose him and let him go. Reka basaka liga sakya eka prodo sata liga rabasaya eklato banka liga sata liga. That pain disappears. Liga rabasaya eka saka disata liga bakada sataya. Eka tanda liga babasa kapose kadisaria libros kada babasa kalida basagaya. Lord, we give you praise. Lekra da baseka lisa kaya eke poka basaria. Anybody with a high side problem, reka posa kalisaria eka poso de liga pansata liga paposea eka sakra disa kapoka tisaria. Have any problem with your eyesight? Lekra da basaya eka po platise kaligla tapo eka sa re prado se telisaria. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is moving. Hallelujah. Ekla po se katisa talisa ekla topan de sangla dos ke de bomba da basadea eka sa taligra da martise dea. I give you praise. Let's put your hand on your chest. Ekrada sakabos ekaria, masaka sasa dide prada sata dide vasakaya. Irebo sakali grada basi kedisa kadia. Ekaskata ligra bose keligra da basakaria. Makato sete linga taskata liga kato pradis ketalia. Irebo skata liga masaka disa talia. Every yoke is broken. Rejoice and be glad. Eka santa libra se katise te bon kalisa dalia mangla dos e de ken de bo pradise te liga poseria. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you. Manka bosa kaya e de bo shata liga da bo shata liga la satalia e kapo se ketinga pasa kladisa talia e klan de pros ke ke bon prase katise te liga e klan to kan da bonsa ke poseria. You are seeking any other part of your body, just lift up your hands and thank him. Hallelujah. Thank him because you receive your healing. For everyone that has Manka saka reka pro seke disa dea. Eka pro do preka disaka. Manka basoke disa. Everyone, raise your hand. Manka basa dea. Eka lepra se the Lord is touching you right now. Eka do pra sakla disa eka bosa. Ede bro santa liga da bro se de liga. Eka de branda las kataliga rabasa kaliga. Eka saka damba kada brasa kaliga. Eka do seke diga rabasanta lisa dea. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Reka boom, reka sankaliza. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Reka satalida. Thank you, Lord. Reka satenda bosekia. There is nothing you cannot do. Reka satalida. Ekra boseka digra da basakalia. Mangratos kantalida da basakalia. Ekra do preka dise te liga da basatalida. Mande sekra do pradisa taliga. Ekre de boseka diga da basakaliga. Eka la basakaliga da basatalia. Macarabosa talida, Erebosenka Liga, Doska, the Liga Rabasia, Macarabaseta Liga Rabasetia. Fill my cup, Lord, Manka Lisa. Thank you, Lord, because you fill the void. Link La Toba Sataliga, Ekambo Soko Topo Sataliga, Rabasataria, Eklatopa Liga, Rabaseka Bosa, the Liga Rabasia, Ekapoma Katin, the Liga is a new season for you. A new season, Reka Lassa Taliga Rabasaya, as the dead pants above the waters, Manka Bosaya, Eka Saka Liga da Bosaya, so your soul should long after the Lord, Eka Saka Bazaya, Eka Pumba La Seteliga, is filling you, Ranka Leka Libra Sataliga, Eka Boseka Dizeteliga, whatever was not enough, more than enough. Hallelujah. Ekabo seke diga pradeba sakalia. Edebo saka krado seke diga padiseta liga. Ekratumpe kaligra das katabrosa. Edebo seke bo sedebo. Makade sete ligra da basaria. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we give you all the praise. Lord, we give you all the glory. Thank you, because indeed, in faith, we receive what you're doing for us this night. Thank you for every disease, every sickness is gone. Just like you told the woman with issue of blood, that your faith has made you well. Thank you, Lord, because we are well. Manka basa kariha. Not just that the blood has dried, that we are well indeed in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise, Father, in Jesus' name.